Each week we gather together to remember our Lord's death. It is the primary focus of our meeting. We partake of bread and wine. We recall our Lord's sacrifice. Why do we do this? What are we to see in remembering His body broken for sin and His blood poured out unto death? God created the world and all that is in it. Everything He beheld before the fall of man was very good. He had made no mistakes nor left anything out. But before long, temptation gave way to sin in this good creation and led to man being sentenced to death and cast out of the Garden of Eden. Before they sinned, Adam and Eve's conscience was clear. They were naked, but not at all ashamed or afraid in the presence of the angels who conversed with them in the name of God. But when their conscience was defiled through sin, they became aware of their nakedness and filled with shame and fear. They tried to cover their nakedness by sewing fig leaves together and making themselves aprons. But God stripped them of their fig leaf device. Slaying an animal, He clothed them with its skin. That sacrifice pointed forward to that of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is figuratively represented as the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. In Christ, therefore, God has provided the covering adequate to hide our spiritual nakedness, and we must avail ourselves of it if we would be saved. This was designed to teach an important spiritual lesson. Nakedness is used in Scripture as a symbol of sin, and as man, since the fall, is born into a constitution of sin, so he is represented as being figuratively naked and in a need of covering. It is a divine principle that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And this was graphically illustrated to Adam when his fig leaf device was taken from him and he was clothed with the skin of a slain animal. Romans 8:2 reads, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." We are all by nature born under the law of sin and death. We must by choice come under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus through baptism. The penalty for sin is death, and whether accomplished by literal or symbolic means, we all suffer the death that is required of sin. But for those faithful ones under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, there awaits a time when sin in the flesh will be cast off forever. Let's turn to Matthew 26. Matthew 26, verse 26. "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body.' And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.'" In Jesus, the foundation stone of a new order of things was being laid. As the prophet said, "Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation." The first step in the process was the begettal of the Son of Mary by the Spirit. The second, His growth and development in the ways of His Father. The third, His manifestation to Israel in the word and works of God. Next to be accomplished and most difficult of all, so far as Christ's submission was concerned, the public and official condemnation of sin by His crucifixion, which His nature qualified Him to be the subject of. His physical flesh and blood, as it was before His death, was identical with that which had prevailed upon earth from Adam downwards. characterized by the same weakness and mortality arising from the same hereditary cause, the sentence of death upon Adam and all his posterity. The nailing of his body to the tree was therefore a representative ritual in which the rejection of the first Adam nature was signified and the righteousness of God thereby declared. In Romans 3:25, speaking of Christ, it says, "Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his," that is, God's righteousness, "for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." We identify ourselves with the transaction at our baptism when we acknowledge this sacrifice as God's appointed mode of reconciliation. Paul expresses it thus: "Our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." The next step in the process of laying the foundation stone was Christ's resurrection to immortal life. With this, the old Adam nature had nothing to do. Death was the part pertaining to the old man. In that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. His resurrection to immortal life was in part due to his obedience, and that obedience was the result of the new work which God did upon the earth in his love, when he begot a son who should live and die and live again, that the world might be saved in harmony with all the requirements of eternal wisdom. Therefore, the whole work was God's work, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imparting their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Speaking of Christ, it is said, "Who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." He is our life, for he who raised Christ from the dead shall raise us up also by Jesus. Out of the chaos caused by sin, God again affirms his purpose. His plan is to restore to its the earth to its original glory. And in Christ, man obtains even more blessings than were lost in Adam. The time will ultimately come when there will be no more curse, when the earth will bring forth its full increase, when those called by God will be elevated to glorious unity in Christ, and when death itself will be eradicated. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Until that time, we come together to remember the life and death of our Savior through the partaking of this bread and wine.